Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here, joined by Scott Fishman from Channel Guide Magazine and the Miami Herald with the breaking news that came out this afternoon, this Monday afternoon. Daniel Bryan is retiring from professional wrestling. Daniel Bryan put on Twitter this afternoon, due to medical reasons effective immediately, I am announcing my retirement tonight on Raw. I'll have a chance to elaborate, hashtag gratitude. Raw tonight is taking place at the Key Arena in Seattle, Washington, which is close to his hometown of Aberdeen. And this is something that a lot of people have been wondering about for a while. We have not seen Daniel Bryan wrestle since, I believe, April 14th, or right around then is when he suffered a concussion for WWE. And about a month later, he had to relinquish the Intercontinental Championship. And there's been all sorts of talk about if he was ever going to be cleared by WWE doctors or not. He actually was not cleared by Dr. Joseph Maroon, who is the official medical director for WWE. He had been given a thumbs up by the head neurologist from the Arizona Cardinals of the NFL. And also recently he had gone and gotten tested by some doctors at UCLA who also gave him the thumbs up, but it was not up to them. It was up to the WWE's head doctor and Dr. Joseph Maroon. He did not clear him. We don't know if there was any other testing that was done. We believe there might have been since then. But regardless, Daniel Bryan is retiring. And by the way, for everybody wondering, this is not a work. This is not some kind of angle. This is not some kind of storyline. Daniel Bryan, at the age of 34, is retiring from wrestling. So how surprised were you when you saw this tweet come out, Scott?
I mean, I was surprised. I wasn't surprised, like you said. This has been coming for a long time now, a few months, a year, almost a year now. You could talk about, you know, what people questioning whether he's going to be stepping in the ring again. So you know some sort of news was going to be coming. I didn't think it was going to be, I don't know, on Twitter made public like this before he made the announcement on Raw. But I guess, you know, with the hours before the show, this gives people enough time to make sure that people are watching to see what he has to say. He didn't go into detail with the tweet, so this could mean a lot of things moving forward in regards to his career. I know they were offering him, or at least there was like reports of them offering him all these non-wrestling gigs and him not being happy about that. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of role he takes moving forward within WWE, about whether he's going to help with training or if he's going to help with broadcasting or just be this goodwill ambassador. But it's really, I mean, as someone who just genuinely likes professional wrestling, this is all he's wanted to do, and someone who genuinely appreciates the business and has a lot of respect for it and has done so much already. But just when he was getting this big opportunity, these big moments, his career's, you know, highlights, and then all of a sudden this happens. It's really sad to see. But, I mean, at the same time, we don't know what's going to happen moving forward. But, yeah, definitely caught me off guard. You know, happen right now, especially with everyone talking about Peyton Manning, you know, retiring and everyone's questioning that. And then lo and behold, the next day, Daniel Bryan announces that he is retiring. So I don't know about the timing of the whole situation, but you could see the outpouring of support from wrestling fans and all over. It's all over news, mainstream. You know, you mentioned it's on the ESPN crawl, so this shows you the kind of impact, the indelible mark that Daniel Bryan has made on, you know, with professional wrestling and beyond. For anybody that questioned that, you know, his drawing power, him as seen as a superstar or this big name, I mean, you're getting the taste of it right now.
You know what the funny thing is like my first reaction when I got this was kind of mixed because, like I said, it was something that wasn't shocking necessarily. I mean, you're always put back when you actually hear the news, but you wondered if this was something that was possibly coming. And it's sad, but at the same time, it's, you have to be guarded about it because, you know, as somebody that is a fan of watching him, you know, perform his craft, and especially as somebody as good as he is, it's sad from a standpoint that you know that he's not going to be able to continue. You know, that could be the selfishness in me, you know, as a fan and not being able to get to watch him, and also knowing that, you know, he's not going to be able to, you know, do what he loves to do. But at the same time, if this is being done for the right reasons, and I do believe it is, and that's because he has had so many different concussions over the years and obviously is not being cleared to wrestle, then it's kind of at the same time. It's like, well, I'd rather that, you know, you'd be forced to retire or you have to step back, or maybe this is his own decision. We'll find out tonight. You know, if this is a lot of it is his decision at this time to step away, because obviously you don't want to see, you know, an injury or something like this get even worse. You don't want it to be something to his detriment, that it's already something serious that he has to deal with. And you don't want it to be something that, you know, affects him even more. I mean, look at what happened with Edge, because that came out of nowhere when he retired. And, you know, it was sad, but at the same time, it's like, you don't want to go out there and risk your health anymore. And that's the situation I think we have a lot here with Daniel Bryan as well.
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, we all want to see Daniel Bryan get back in the ring, of course. But it just shows you how serious WWE takes its testing for all kinds of medical reasons. And if you're not, you know, 100% clear, they won't put you out in the ring. They don't care who you are, what kind of big name you are, you know, how much of, you know, this is a huge name that they're, you know, they could create a lot of money with using Daniel Bryan, but their, you know, health is comes first over everything else. So a lot of people don't give WWE enough credit. I mean, they're, you know, people are saying, oh, all these other doctors are clearing, why can't WWE? Well, if there's any, beyond the reasonable doubt, I mean, if there's any reasonable doubt for Daniel Bryan not to step in foot in the ring, you know, you're thinking of this publicly traded company, they're not going to do it. So you have to see the business sense of that, and also for them genuinely caring about his well-being.
I mean, that's what you want to hear most of all, is that they actually do care about the guy. The thing that that I think raised a lot of eyebrows from some people is that it wasn't too long ago that Daniel has been putting it out there that, you know what, and he even did this on Total Divas, saying, you know what, if I have to go someplace besides WWE to continue to wrestle, I'll do that. You know, I don't have to be in WWE to be happy, you know, when it comes to my career. I can go wrestle, you know, in a myriad of other places. So does that mean I have to quit or retire WWE? If that's the case, so be it. And I know a lot of people wondered, you know, what does this mean for that? I mean, is he really retiring from wrestling as a whole, or is he just retiring from WWE? I mean, you know, in that tweet that I mentioned, he has said, I am announcing my retirement. So I think a lot of people are still wondering about that, but bottom line is he's still under contract with WWE. And I know people will be like, well, you know, I know they won't clear him, but just let the guy go and let him do what he wants. And, you know, it's at his risk if he wants to wrestle elsewhere. There's a lot of different things that go into that. You know, they want to care about the performers. And also, you know, it sets a bad precedent if they actually just let a guy out of his contract to, you know, use the star power that he earned with the company to go elsewhere. So, you know, they're not just going to let him walk. I mean, like I said, it's part of it is because they care about the guy. So they're not, that's why they haven't cleared him, but they're not going to just let him walk out of his contract. So I don't think this is a situation where it's going to be, oh, he's done from WWE and now he's going to go, you know, 6 months from now, he's going to pop up on Ring of Honor or Evolve or in New Japan.
Yeah, it's such an interesting situation that this is, because you hear about, you talked about Edge earlier. I mean, these are guys that have heard and told doctors that they, you know, they can't wrestle again, and they were okay with it. I mean, they have no other choice but to be okay with it also. But this is someone where some doctors were saying yes. And so I guess that's giving everyone, even Daniel Bryan, a glimmer of hope, because it's like mommy and daddy. Like, if mommy says something, you know, can't do something, then you go to daddy, and then he'll say you can do something. So, but, yeah, it'll be interesting to see the next couple of days, even the next couple of months and next year. I don't know when his deal was set to expire, but you know, the freeze was put on that contract when he got injured, that he would have to fulfill those obligations moving forward before anything. So I don't know if you're right. I don't see WWE letting him go. I mean, you know, but as far as that, what kind of role will he be put in with this whole situation? But, you know, he wants to wrestle again. I don't know what's going to happen, but at least maybe he had other testing. I guess we'll find out tonight if, you know, where he was told, you know, new information about the risks he would be taking in the ring, and it got him thinking, hey, this isn't worth that much, because, you know, it's not worth being in the ring as much as I love it, because I want to start a family, and I have a wife, and I have, you know, everyone cares about me, so, you know, maybe I need a second thought what I'm going to, you know, what's going to happen moving forward. So something may have affected his decision the last couple of weeks to make him conclusively say that he's retiring.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, I mean, when we look at his career, he's already done so much. I mean, and he's accomplished so much. What was there left for him to accomplish? Sure, he wants to go out there and just perform. I mean, that's what he loves to do, and that's what makes him happy. But when it comes to a list of accomplishments, I mean, he's already reached the peak. You know, he main evented a WrestleMania. He had two matches at a WrestleMania on the same show, winning both of them and leaving as the champion come the end of the night with confetti, you know, covering him, you know, and fans wildly cheering for him. So, I mean, he's already kind of reached that peak. I know that there was some other things that he wanted to do from a standpoint of, you know, he would have loved to have wrestled Nakamura in WWE. And, you know, there's probably some other guys who would just love to work with. But when it comes to accomplishments, I mean, he's already done it all. And like we said, you've got to weigh the risk versus, you know, what else is out there when it comes to, do you want to continue? You've got a family you want to start. You know, and how dangerous is it going to be at this point? I mean, he was even talking not too long ago about, oh, I can change my style. There's some things I know I have to cut out, you know, if I come back and everything. And you could say that, but at the same time, you really wonder, like, can you really do that? And even if you try to prepare, even if you try to cut things out, I mean, it's a very physical business. We've all seen it with just these random weird injuries that have happened. Many times it's like sometimes the most basic things that happen to a guy or a move that they perform, that's the ones that they get banged up on.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, you never know. Every time, yeah, it's going to be that one match, that one freak accident that causes, you know, severe injury. It's happened before. And, I mean, they don't want to take that risk. If it's one match, it's, you know, it's going to be a risk. That's why Shawn Michaels, you know, Shawn Michaels hasn't wrestled again. Stone Cold Steve Austin, everyone's like, it's just one match. I mean, what kind of harm can it do? They see the risk that's there, and they just don't feel it's worth it. So, preemptively, they're taking the chance. I mean, they don't want to put their lives in their hands in that ring if they don't feel comfortable doing that. And, you know, Daniel Bryan might feel like he's, you know, he can, but, you know, other people will say otherwise, including his employers. But like you said, like, he has done pretty much everything and then some. Like, in so many people's careers would dream of having something, you know, just what Daniel Bryan has done over the years. And in recent years, like you said, headlining WrestleMania, he's had so many other opportunities in his things that he probably even thought weren't even possible. That's just a couple of years ago. So it's not like he's leaving. It's, you know, it's like, oh, he has so much left to accomplish because, you know, he's done pretty much everything. He has a Hall of Fame career already in the books, no matter what happens moving forward.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, we talk about what was left for him. And, you know, like I said, you know, he's accomplished everything. The guy can leave, I think, with his head held, you know, his head held high, considering everything that he has done. As for what is next, though, I don't know when it comes to the wrestling business, because this might be one of those situations where it would be tough for him to be around it because he would want to do it so much. You know, he obviously could talk a lot better than I think a lot of people give him credit for. And I think that even that obviously developed over time, and he opened up and he felt more comfortable with it. So I don't know about an announcing position. Same with like a trainer's position at this point of his career, because he'd still want to, you know, perform out there. So I could see like a brand ambassador, but at the same time, I could easily see him just kind of disappearing for a while. You know, I don't know if that would be 6 months or a year or 2 years or however long, but I could easily see him, you know, just disappearing and doing some other, you know, things that he wants to do that he enjoys outside of wrestling when it comes to, you know, he has so many other little things that he likes to do when it comes to like traveling the world, or, you know, I think he talked about joining the Peace Corps, or, you know, he's so into doing things to help the environment. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly what's next. I mean, I will find out in the coming weeks and months, but I just have this feeling that he's not going to be around WWE or the wrestling business.
Yeah, and I think he's okay with that. It's almost like a similar situation with Shawn Michaels, where he's okay being on his giant, you know, land and ranch and just hanging out with horses and animals and his family. I mean, I think Daniel Bryan's almost the same way in a sense, besides, you know, having this passion for wrestling. You almost see it on Total Divas where, you know, him and Brie wants to have children, and, you know, so this could be the time to really step back and do that. And I know she has that business that they're building up. that local, live local or something, you know, that business, whatever it was called. But that's something that, that he can move into. I mean, it's just, that episode just aired like last week or so, so it's interesting timing for that as well. But there's so many other options for Daniel Bryan to do good in this world, and I think he knows that. But it's just amazing to think, like, I'm like 31 years old and he's 34 and he's done like all this amazing stuff and he's like talking about retirement. It's just crazy to fathom. It's just what kind of industry that, that is. And he still has his whole life ahead of him, really.
Well, you know what the other thing is, too, is that we sit here and we talk about his career. And, you know, he had already accomplished a lot even before he got to WWE. People recognized him as one of the more natural, one of the greatest, you know, in-ring wrestlers that we had seen probably over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years. And then he decides he wants to go to WWE, signs there. And there's a lot of fans that were worried about that, saying what's going to happen to him there? Will they really appreciate him because of the size, because, you know, he's not the most outgoing guy. But he obviously had something that you just can't teach. He had that quote-unquote it factor. And it was a different one, a different kind than what a lot of other people have. It took a while before I think WWE really trusted him. And a lot of that wasn't from a WWE standpoint. I know that there was definitely some people behind the scenes that had power that really did get behind Daniel and wanted him to do well. But there was always going to be, or there was a hesitancy by others. And it took the power of the people. It took the crowd to really get behind him to where he became not just like this cult-like figure, but this phenomenon that hit the scene. And when that Yes Movement really took off, it was something that, it really expanded into like other sports. I mean, this was something that wasn't just with wrestling. I mean, we've seen this, you know, there was that Michigan State, Ohio State basketball game where people were doing, you know, yes chants. And we've seen it at other places as well. It's just amazing to sit there and look at this guy that people worried about what was going to happen with him going to WWE and worried about him getting lost in the shuffle or just not making it there, to where he made an impact. And at one point it was almost like I wouldn't say he was a household name, but there were people that at least knew of him or knew of the things that he was doing, you know, once he really, you know, hit his peak in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about that, even the Super Bowl, like the Seahawks, there was some connection there as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it was just an organic story to tell when you talk about the Yes Movement. Like you said, the fans, something the fans really got behind, and the WWE had no choice but to listen. So I think that it was one of the best stories, I think, leading into the road to WrestleMania. We look at that, and now we're working towards another WrestleMania. But WrestleMania 30, that was one of the best laid-out stories that WWE has told, because, you know, there was a level of realism there that people really related to this, you know, every man and his will to make it to the top no matter what, never letting size or any obstacle get in his way. And I think people found inspiration in that, and they continue to find inspiration with him. So that's why, you know, people are emotionally invested in him and his story, and why people feel, you know, are hurting today. You know, their hearts are breaking because of their hearing about these news, and it's sad to see him, what a career come to an end this soon, especially when he still feels like he has so much more to give. That just makes it even harder. But like you said, just what an incredible story and what a cultural connection he has built beyond professional wrestling with the whole Yes Movement.
And that's the thing too. You look at the timing of it, because so he fought uphill, and he still wasn't going to get that opportunity at WrestleMania a few years ago. But if you remember, just the chain-like events that went down, because he was already so super popular, and people were getting behind him for the Yes Movement, and people wanted him to win the Royal Rumble, and Batista won, and people were pissed off like nobody's business. And then right after the Rumble, CM Punk quits. And because of that, this chain reaction happens. And WWE is trying to put the pieces back together of what they're going to do for WrestleMania. And a decision was made. That's it. We've got to do what the people want. They finally listened to the people. And they put him in, you know, the main event of WrestleMania. And you had like this fairy tale story of him winning the championship. And what was it, about a month after that is when he realized he had the neck injury. And then he had to go and he had to have surgery. Within a couple of months, he had that. And that put him on the shelf for the rest of the year. And we were waiting for him to come back and worried about when, you know, if or when he was going to be able to come back. Comes back from that injury, comes to WrestleMania 31. He wins the Intercontinental Championship. You're thinking, all right, here we go, back on track. And then, you know, about a month later, not even a month later, just a couple of weeks after WrestleMania, is when he gets banged up again and he suffers another concussion while they're on a European tour. And, you know, you just look at it that there were so many different steps to try to get to the top. At least he got that moment, but it almost didn't even happen. And then just to see the avalanche of injuries since then, I think that's another thing that really hurts people and wondering kind of this what if of we got to see the story of Daniel making it to the top, but we didn't get to really see the story afterwards. We didn't get to finish those chapters, and it's always going to be kind of a what if.
Yeah, I mean, but things happen. At least it happened, I think. That's the most important thing, because it would be even more tragic if he had gotten injured even before, you know, before that, and he wasn't able to fulfill what was planned out as far as him winning the championship. So I'm grateful that he's able to have that opportunity. I'm sure he's very thankful for that as well. So you just have to think about the positive and the blessings and the good things that he had accomplished, and not think about, you know, what if, like you said, what would have happened moving forward. Maybe it would have, like, I don't know, it could have maybe, I don't want to say tainted, because you know how WWE is with, you know, the cycle when it comes to pushing a guy and then just giving up on it. So who knows, who's to say that didn't have happened? So now he leaves on these high notes, but that's what people will always remember. So that's a good thing in itself.
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, and it's funny because I am curious, though, what would have happened. Because I know, remember, he wins the championship at WrestleMania 30, and then he was immediately put in the program with Kane, and people are like, uh-oh, here we go. And I just think that there was just so much attention, and there was so many people behind Daniel. It was one of these things, like, there's so many different guys that I think people look at, and they say, we're behind that guy, but then it doesn't work. And you're like, okay, I'm disappointed. I'm ticked off about it. But he was the one guy that you really got a sense of that the fans were not going to allow WWE to forget about him or bury him. You know, even if it wasn't like in that really upper tier, you know, truly being a main event of a WrestleMania type of guy, he was going to be in a strong position. And even if he lost matches, he was a guy that I think could have withstood it just because there were so many people that were behind him, and people would let him know, like, this is our guy. You've done this to other people, but we're not going to let you do this to Daniel, no matter what. And that's why I am curious to see what would have been next. And it was at a time, too, now when we talk about all these different guys that over the last, you know, year or so that have joined WWE that he kind of helped pave the way for, because it was a guy that made its way on the indies with a company like Ring of Honor that people didn't think could be a big star in WWE because of his size or just his personality and everything that we had seen before. But then we saw Kevin Owens come in, and we saw Sami Zayn come in, and now we've seen AJ Styles come in, and Nakamura is coming in. So he opened all these different doors, and we're waiting for these potential matchups of, you know, seeing Daniel Bryan against all of these different guys. And unfortunately, you know, it's not going to happen. But, you know, like I said, just, I mean, the impact that he had in changing, kind of, I think, the way that WWE looked at some of these guys and paving the way for some of them to come into the company.
Yeah, just much like you can also say it about other guys, too, but him leaving, like, most recently to give these up, seeing what a success he can be, I think really helped and seeing in a lot of people, naysayers' minds, and maybe, like you said, giving these opportunities for guys who came from the independent scene and maybe not normally would have gotten an opportunity, but he showed that style. I mean, you look at NXT now, and you see that was Daniel Bryan's style and so many others that, you know, whether they were Ring of Honor or in Japan or wherever they wrestled, you saw what kind of impact that these guys had made and fans really responding to it and getting into it and showing that work rate was important. And it's not only about, you know, yes, entertainment is good and Daniel Bryan can be entertaining, but work rate was what sold these guys and really resonated with fans and why they became fans in the first place. So having that size difference, I think really, you know, it showed that a guy of that size could make a difference and could be a top star. You know, guys like Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Jericho before them, this is like this new era of, you know, just a good reminder for the WWE, I think. Like you said, with all these guys like Sami Zayn and guys, even him tweeted out, just without Daniel Bryan, you know, a lot of these guys would not be here, may not have been here otherwise without his contributions.
Yeah, you know, and that's a great thing. It's just, I think the impact that he had on them, and you know, I've had an opportunity to talk to him on multiple occasions. I know that you've talked to him as well. I don't think I've ever talked to a more genuine person, especially in a business that's filled with workers and agendas and different things like that. Not everybody is like that, but you always felt like he never had a guard up. Like, we wonder about, do guys really let their guard down when they talk to the media? And I really always kind of felt like with Daniel, he didn't have a guard. And he was just always going to be, you know, the real him. That's what we saw, you know, as fans once he stepped in the ring. And I think that's what we got when we talked to him outside the ring, which I always felt was refreshing. And he, like I said, he's one of the more genuine people I've ever talked to in my life.
Yeah, it's like what you see on TV is what you get, basically, when the cameras stop rolling. I think that's what's great about Daniel Bryan. Even on Total Divas, you see a lot, you know, the same Daniel Bryan. So, like you said, we both have talked to him in the past, and he's always shoots straight with you. He's always honest. He never, you know, you feel like he's not holding back, and he's just, you know, he's almost very so down to earth. It's almost like you're just talking to like a friend or someone. It's not like this worldwide superstar, you know, that. It's just like just having a conversation with just like you and I are having right now. So it just shows you, you know, how, you know, like a one of the million that this guy had and just the spirit he had and what he gave off, the kind of personality he gave off. I think that's what set him apart from other people and why it's so sad to see this happen to him, because he was such a genuinely good guy, down to earth guy. I mean, we're talking like he's like passed away or something. But
I know.
It's almost like a death or something, but no, he's still alive and it's great and everything like that. But you know, it's almost like a death in a way, just because I've never you know, you're so emotionally invested in this career, and you're not normally in this day and age with professional wrestling being the way it is, sports entertainment the way it is, to have that happen is just such a special thing when you really connect with someone like that. And so, you know, you really don't see anybody saying a bad thing about Daniel Bryan, and that's very rare to have in this, you know, this business.
And there's nothing really bad to say about the guy. I mean, I think that anybody that ever came across him, anybody that ever worked with him or worked around him really enjoyed him. I mean, he was just natural. I mean, he was a guy that he's just an all-around good dude, you know, and he liked having fun. He liked having a smile on his face. Sure, he got frustrated with different things. He was open about that. He would talk to us about it in the media. He talked about it in his autobiography. That, yeah, there was definitely times that he did get frustrated with things that happened in his career, but I don't think he ever really let that affect him too much. You can have your bad days, but he was a guy that just wanted to, you know, live a happy life, and I think that's what he has done. He found what he enjoyed in life, and you know, his passion was getting into the wrestling ring, and he was able to share that with us because he was so passionate about it. And, you know, he got to do that for, you know, his adult life up until this point. So, yeah, we talk about it like it's just like this horrible thing, like, you know, the guy's dying or somebody's not, you know, and it, you know, we can appreciate everything that he has done. That's a great thing about Raw. And I think it is going to be kind of like an appreciation night. And, you know, we have all these great things to look at, you know, when it comes to his career, and hopefully, you know, there will be a time, whether it's immediate or down the line, where he continues to work with WWE or work in wrestling, and he's an ambassador for a wrestling company. He is so passionate about it. And if he wants to be an ambassador or an announcer or a trainer or whatever role that he wants to have, I'll take it. As long as I have a little Daniel Bryan, you know, in my life, because he is such a good dude. He's a magnetic guy that you want to be around, that I think raises the spirits of so many different people.
Yeah, I hope he does stick around. I mean, I hope they keep him on TV. I don't know if it's like an authority figure role or whether he just does, like you said, some shape or form. I hope we do see him around, because he's someone that really brings out the best in people and just brings a smile to your face, and that's what it's all about, bringing smiles to people's faces. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the professional wrestling ring. It could be, you know, just having him there, just meeting fans and signing autographs and taking photos. But it can also be involved in storylines. Who's to say you can't be like, take up a manager role or this mentor role, maybe to Sami Zayn or somebody else. So there's other options, you know, for Daniel Bryan that may not, you know, that doesn't have to necessarily see him in an actual match. So I hope they explore those options. I'm sure they have talked about it before, and maybe it's hard for him. Maybe he doesn't want to do that because it's so hard to see guys doing what he loves and him not being able to do it. It's like a reminder to him. So I don't even know if that's the case. So it'll be interesting tonight. I mean, we can talk about it all what we want, but the only person that knows right now is Daniel Bryan about what he's going to say and what's going to happen moving forward after tonight.
I wonder, what does WWE learn from Daniel Bryan, from a standpoint of here was a guy that they signed. I don't think they never think he was like a lower tier guy, but there was definitely certain expectations, and he overcame them for, you know, in a variety of ways. I mean, I think he showed off a lot more personality and charisma than they ever expected. I think they were shocked by the fan support that they got. And he was a guy that, like I said, they came in, they probably wondered, can he really talk? Does he, how good is his charisma? We know he can work. Can he adapt to what we call our style? And can he connect with the audience in a grandiose way? And he did all of those things. And we're seeing a little bit of the shift when it comes to guys that WWE has been bringing in lately. So I wonder, you know, what kind of impact, you know, he has, and, you know, what happens going forward when people, when WWE is looking at different people, you know, and bringing them in, because like I said, you know, he kind of paved the way for a lot of different guys. So I'm curious, you know, how they look at people differently considering the success that they had with him.
Yeah, it'll be. I mean, I think it's already seen that the way they're looking at things, and maybe they, because there was so much time where they wouldn't give opportunity to Daniel Bryan, even though they heard the kind of response he was getting, and maybe they were scratching their head like, why are fans looking at this? Because it's almost that old school line of thinking where fans like they want these larger than life characters, and you know, Daniel Bryan was this down to earth character, and so it was something totally different than what they were. We're used to, but if you're looking at guys like Sami Zayn and someone who's, you know, the kind of cut from the same cloth as Daniel Bryan, so I think the only reason that maybe he's getting these opportunities is because of Daniel Bryan showing that it's possible that fans do enjoy seeing him in the ring. So I think they've already taken a look at what Daniel Bryan has done moving forward, even before he's even retired.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. I hope that they learn from the Daniel Bryan experience. That's the one thing that I hope comes from this, you know. As great of a performer as Daniel has been, and how we can go back and we can enjoy all these different memories that he's provided, and I'm excited about seeing what's going to be next for him as he's going to be happy and healthy. But I'm curious to see what WWE is going to learn from that experience, and hopefully they do. And you know, it doesn't taint the way that they look at other guys. I would hope the other thing is, too, it doesn't just affect the way that they look at talent that they want to bring in, but they look at the ways that they push talent or make their decision on talent. Because how many times have we sat here and said the crowd is behind a certain guy? For whatever reason, there is an it factor there that the crowd responds to, or at least the ones that are live, which are paying customers, and yet WWE many times can be late in saying we're really going to pull the trigger on a guy. They're hesitant for whatever reason, and they were with Daniel, and it came out that, you know, they finally gave him the push that he deserved and the people wanted, and you saw the reaction. So I wonder if they can learn from that standpoint on, hey, you know what, the crowd is reacting to a guy, maybe we do have something here, rather than kind of waiting on it. Because they're definitely there over the years, there's always been some guys like this, but even more recently, I think we can all name a few guys in particular and say, why aren't they doing something? Because it's not just a 1 week thing when it comes to reaction. This has been going on for 3, 4, 5 weeks. At least try and see what you have there with the guy.
Yeah. I mean, you look at guys like Dolph Ziggler and think that maybe they're not so much listening to the reactions or judging it, but I think a little bit they are more than they used to be, which is a huge improvement from before. It's, you know, they will listen more to the fans and see that if a fan, you can't go against the grain. If this is what fans want and they want to cheer these guys, it's almost like what's happening with New Day. It's like if fans want to cheer these guys, you're just going to have to move them over. It's just a matter of factly. But then you look at the Wyatts where fans were cheering them at one point, and they're like, no, these guys are staying, you know, heels. So, I don't know. I guess it depends on the situation as far as when it looks like that when you're talking about, you know, Daniel Bryan, the reactions he was getting, and really forcing the decision makers to take a look at what was going on and be like, listen, you need to push this guy or promote him more than you are, because clearly the fans want to see him.
Well, at least he got that signature moment, like we say, when it came to WrestleMania 30, winning the championship with all the confetti and everything, and It was funny to go back and to think that his real push to really being a top guy, like a pure top guy, that the crowd would not let WWE deny, was going back to WrestleMania 28 when he lost a match in 18 seconds.
Right down here, Miami, Florida.
Yep.
And then the day after, the Yes Movement was born.
It was crazy. Well, hell, the Yes Movement was kind of born that night because remember...
Oh, yeah, you could say that. And then it was really defined the next night.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because the rest of WrestleMania, I mean, there was big pockets of WrestleMania where people were chanting for Daniel Bryan the rest of the night. And then the following night on Raw, like you said, I mean, that... The crowd overtook that as well and just went nuts. And
yeah, when you think about it, there's so many moments that we were, you know, lucky enough to witness live like that. You mentioned those moments, but also WrestleMania 30 and even last year, just all those moments that we can look back on fondly and be like, wow, I was there and I was able to take in these big feel-good moments, because you don't get better feel-good moments than with Daniel Bryan. You just get so emotional when you see him out there, because you see the genuine joy he has of being out there and doing what he loves to do. So we'll always have those memories for sure.
And that's the connection. Now, we could sit here and we could talk about charisma and personality and different things like that. The way that he connected with the audience is joy, because he had so much joy for what he did. And you couldn't help but notice that he had... You know, his emotions were on his sleeve, that you could just tell this guy was having a good time. Even when there was times where we were skeptical as fans, you know, like when they started putting him with Kane and they did those skits with the, you know, the psychiatrist and everything, going, oh, my God, guess what? He made that work. Now, Kane made that work as well, but Daniel Bryan made that work. There were so many different times where we were skeptical and we're rolling our eyes and thinking, what the hell are they doing with this guy? But you know what? He made it work. Because
look at even the ladies man angle with the Bella or AJ, and that just made it even better. The personality really helped him. It just showed his diversity when it comes to, like you said, making the most of what he's given and making it entertaining. And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. Like, everyone knows him as such a great, you know, wrestler in the ring, but they, you know, maybe that's often overlooked, that the fact that he's so good, you know, he could really talk on the microphone, give up emotion that way, and really get people to watch and take notice, but also behind the scenes, and he can pull off these angles and these situations that are like so over the top that they work somehow, like you said, with Kane, with AJ, with, you know, so many other situations that he's been involved in the past.
It's going to be a Kleenex night watching Raw, I think. It's going to be a Kleenex night.
Yeah, I know I'm going to buy some Tide tomorrow, I think, just in honor of Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna wear a plaid shirt tonight. If I could grow a beard, I would do it. Unfortunately, I cannot. I'm going to make sure that I tell my wife, like, why don't you go to bed early tonight? Okay. Because I don't want you being around me in case I really get emotional watching, him give his, farewell speech.
I may have something in my eye, I think, at that point.
I'm just going to keep an onion with me at all times. So I have something to blame, you know, because, just to watch a grown man cry because of another grown man, but I mean, that's
for wrestling fans to feel this way, you know, it's something like that. It's something like special. The person was special.
Yeah, exactly. Tonight's a it's okay to cry night, I guess. When you're a wrestling,
I don't even know what's going to happen tonight. I can't even focus on anything else. I can't imagine if they kick off Raw like with him. I can't imagine anybody thinking about anything else through the whole show. It's just. That's going to be hard to do. So it's very challenging. It'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
Right. And there's already, you know, I mean, obviously WWE, I guess, has been telling their, you know, all their talent, like, tweet about this right now and put hashtag thank you, Daniel Bryan, too, because they want to get it going, you know, on Twitter and social media. But, you know, I think the talent would do that anyway, just because there is a certain connection and emotion to Daniel, even from his peers, you know, and how much he means to them. So I am curious to see what's going to happen on the show and what he is going to say. But it should be a special night. And, you know, like we said before, you know, it's sad to see him having to walk away from the wrestling ring. But at the same time, we could appreciate his career. We can enjoy it. We could celebrate it. We could celebrate the man, and we can know that, guess what? He's going to be healthy going forward, or as healthy as possible, and he can live a long, happy life with his family, and hopefully we get to see him around the wrestling business going forward, because the last thing, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do, and I get that, and I respect that, but at the same time, if he can still be involved in wrestling, and we can see him from time to time, that would be even better.
I agree.
That's what we want to see. So it'll be an interesting night for Raw. We will have, I'll have more of the Daniel Bryan story and what he says and coverage of Raw and everything coming up later on in the week with another podcast, at least one, maybe maybe two podcasts coming up this week, because this is a special edition talking about the news of Daniel Bryan. So be listening to the podcast. I appreciate everybody for tuning in. And remember, you can follow or automatically get the podcast by subscribing. You can do it on iTunes and on Stitcher. You can go to SoundCloud and find the podcast as well. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Brian Fritz. And make sure you follow Scott on Twitter as well. It's at SM Fishman. And you can find all of his work over at the Channel Guide magazine website. Oh, by the way, he's kind of got this little feature in this magazine called American Way, which if you are on American Airlines, guess what? You can read the article while you're flying, or you could just go online and you can read it then. A big feature that Scott did talking about this year's WrestleMania as it heads to Dallas, Texas. So thanks, Scott, and everybody else. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, and I'll talk to you soon.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.